This first one, we want to pray for the family of Brandon Underwood, whose memorial service is today at 11 in Burns Flat. And then also pray for the family of Keith Maple, whose celebration of life service is at 10 today. And both of these services are Burns Flat. And then I'd ask you to pray for my husband, Joe, who has not felt very good the last couple of days. And of course, when you're dealing with the word we got back in August of cancer, even though we're believing that he is healed in the healing process, when he doesn't feel good for a couple of days and his stomach's kind of queasy, you know, that's always a concern. And I think the enemy throws those things at us to shake our faith a little bit. And so I just would like for you to pray for him. And then I would like for you to pray for Lance Bowman, who's facing some big decisions. He needs wisdom, and he needs to pay attention to the direction of the Lord. And then I have a praise. We prayed yesterday for Kevin and Kimberly Williams as they were getting ready to leave the hospital with their little twin boys. And Kimberly had posted this morning their first night at home. So Kirtland and Kaislin, 6 weeks old in NICU, came home yesterday and spent their first night at home with their mommy and daddy.
Yeah, that is definitely a praise. We've been praying for them through all this time. Well, it's just a praise of how everything has actually come together.
Right.
In all of this. So, but Father, we do want to lift up these needs before you this morning. We pray for the family of Brandon Underwood, who has gone to his eternal home with you, and we're thankful that where he is at. We also pray for the family of Keith Maple, whose celebration of life services this morning. And Lord, in both of these cases, we know that you are with the families. But Lord, we also pray that they will just take this moment as they celebrate the life of their loved ones to know that you are there with them and that you are going to walk with them through this time. Lord, we lift them up and we pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to them, not only today as they prepare for the service and as they have the service, but will continue to minister to them in the days and the weeks ahead. Lord, we understand we never really get over the loss of a loved one. We get through that time. But there will always be that time that we look back and we just wish that they were there for one more moment. But Lord, walk with them and be with them both of these families during this time. And Lord, may there be people who are challenged to come into a right relationship with you, as this is a time in which we realize that we're not going to live forever. And may your Holy Spirit just work in those situations as well. So, Lord, we leave both of these families into your hands this morning. We pray for Joe, and we ask that you would just be with him as he's not felt very good for the last couple of days. And, Lord, anytime you have a diagnosis of cancer and there's something that happens, you go, is it there? Is it returned? What's going on? So, Father, I'm just praying that you would bring healing to whatever is causing this. We're continuing to trust that you've healed Joe of the cancer, that even though it may not all be gone, you're still in the process. Lord, we're just knowing that you are doing a work that only you can do. And I just pray that through all of this, your name will be glorified, and it might be a testimony not only to Neva's family, but to all that know them, of your love and care and concern for them. And then we pray for the Lance Bowman, who is facing some big decisions. Don't know what those decisions are. Don't need to know what those decisions are, because you know exactly what they are. And I pray that you will give him the wisdom that he needs, and that you will just help him to pay attention to the direction that you're leading him in. That what the decisions he makes would be the decisions that would be your decisions, the things that you would want for him, and that they would be good decisions for him, but also good decisions for the kingdom of God and the things of God, and that it would lead to praise, your praise and your glory. We celebrate with Kevin and Kimberly as their twin boys are our home. Just so excited to see that you have worked in this situation, and you worked through this whole process through the adoption and the adoption of twins, and Lord, that the twins have made such great progress. We just ask that you'll continue to help them to make progress each and every day. You will be Kevin and Kimberly as they take care of these two boys, and Lord, that they will grow up to be mighty men for you. And we just pray that your blessings will continue to rest upon them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City has services on Sunday. Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and then church again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, as well as prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 6 and Bible study on Thursday at 7. Apostle Casey Elliott will bless you. And then the Refuge Church is a non-denominational church out west of Sayre on Highway 152 from the traffic light downtown Sayre, Oklahoma. It's 3 miles west. And when you get to that point, the actual address is 18410 Highway 152. When you get to that point, you'll see a barn over on the right-hand side of the road. Well, that'd be if you're going north, I guess, mm-hmm. on the east side of the highway. And inside there is a beautiful worship center. They have Sunday school at 10 o'clock, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and Wednesday youth group at 7. If you need more information, you can call Pastor Tammy Bailey at 729-0956. Now, Pastor Joe, I'd like for you to tell our listeners what time your services are each week.
All right. Our Sunday morning services, we have Sunday school at 9:45. We have worship at 10:45. Right now, we're not doing a Sunday evening or an evening, a Wednesday evening service. But we are going to have in July, I don't have the exact dates set yet, we're going to do a Monday night study for a couple of weeks. We're going to do that in August for a couple of weeks. And then in September, again, we'll give you dates as we get a little bit closer. We'll do an extended Bible study on Monday nights. We just found that Wednesday nights aren't working for us, so we've decided to do something a little bit different.
I see. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. What? Oh, address.
Our address? Well, we're right up the street here from the Rock Christian Music. We're at 501 West 1st Street. If you're coming on Main Street, or not Main Street, but on 3rd Street, if you turn at the west side of Homeland and go north two blocks, we're right there on the corner. If you turn on Washington, you go to First Street and turn west. We're one block there. Not too hard to find. We're one block east of the junior high school on First Street.
All right. Thanks, Monica, for reminding us about that information. It's kind of important to know where people are.
Right.
So we do want to hear from some of our other sponsors now. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, Joshua's Crossing Ministry is our Facebook sponsor today.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
At Bordyce and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. Thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Pastor Joe Thompson is our guest today, bringing us a great lesson about controlling yourself.
Right. And so we've looked at a few of those aspects of controlling yourself and talked about replacing bad inclinations with something good and meeting needs in a legitimate way, controlling your environment. Then there's a fourth thing that we do, and that's controlling ourselves by an act of will. Now, again, we're going to get to the Holy Spirit here in just a minute. These are things that we are called to do in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, okay? So don't think that we can just control ourselves by ourselves, but these are things that we need to know in living out. And we've used Scripture to show those things on each one of those. So we're going to look here at controlling ourselves by an act of the will. And sometimes we just have to act out of sheer determination. What usually happens in an instance of us not doing something, it's not a lack of willpower, but a lack of motivation. And those are closely related. Let me give you a couple of examples. A person who smokes, they know they need to quit. They know they need to give that up for their health. But it's not something, not until something motivates them that their willpower really kicks in to overcome that. It might be a child saying, "Daddy, I wish you wouldn't smoke. I want you to be around when for my wedding," or something like that. It might be a diagnosis of a smoking related disease. Same thing for an alcoholic or an addict. Something triggers that motivation and their willpower to be able to quit. And so sometimes there's a determination that has to take place within the mind. And I've known that God has given that determination to people just because they said they realized it wasn't godly for them. We had a gentleman in the church, he's passed away now, but when he was saved, the pastor that was here now took him out to visit somebody one time. He was still smoking at that time. Asked him if he wanted to be saved, and he said, "Yeah." And the Lord immediately convicted him that his smoking was not to be. And so when he came home, he put that pack of cigarettes up on the refrigerator. He didn't throw it away. Mm-hmm. He put it up on the refrigerator, and it stayed there for 2 years before he ever got rid of it. It was, maybe a temptation, but it was also a reminder of his decision to quit. Mm. And so, there's a lot of things that there. Another thing we have to realize is that we oftentimes feel sorry for ourselves. It's too hard to quit. And that attitude will stop us dead in our tracks. Mm-hmm. Because we're wanting to make that excuse, that temptation is too great. Paul said that we can do everything with the help of Christ who gives us the strength, Philippians 4:13. And so if it's the right thing to do, God's going to give you the power to quit. Now, I want to diverge here for just a minute. We often take this verse out of context and we say, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." If that's what God wants you to do, you can do it. Don't take that verse out of context and I can say, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," and it's not something God wants you to do. But oftentimes we say that and we don't ever consider, is this what God wants me to do? We just plunge ahead, we're bullheaded, and we go, "I can do this through God's strength." But it's not working, God. I didn't tell you to do it. Okay, enough of the sidetrack. So make sure you take this verse in the right context. Great verse. I use it often in life. But make sure you have that right context. It has to be the right thing, and we have to submit. That's the key here. So we need to make sure that we're not feeling sorry for ourselves, but we're looking at what God wants us to do, and then that God's giving us the strength to do that. The most important thing out of all this, and this is the reason why I saved this for last, is that we are to control ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyone can develop a certain amount of self-control. I say anyone, most anyone. There may be those few who cannot. But pretty much everybody can develop a certain amount of self-control. But the Christian has a greater advantage than just the average person because we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he's going to send the Holy Spirit to give us power. Power to live the life he's called us to. Power to witness of that life that he's called us to. And Galatians 5:22-23, which I've already referred to, the fruit of the Spirit, is that one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, part of that fruit that's developing in us is that we can have self-control over those things that are going to harm us. And if we have the Holy Spirit working within us, then we can have self-control not to only have power over those things that will harm us, but to do those things in our life that will build us up, mm-hmm. that will make us stronger. Going back to what Paul says, you know, I buffet my body so that I will not be disqualified. He's saying I'm doing those things that will build me up. And the Holy Spirit's the one that gives us that power to be able to do that. He'll remind us of what not to do. He'll remind us of what to do. And then he'll give us the power to accomplish that each and every day in our life. Paul writes in Galatians 5:24, if we live by our spiritual nature, then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. And it's impossible for us to conform to God's spiritual nature if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And so when we're looking at this, we need to understand that self-control ultimately comes from God through the Holy Spirit. All these other four things that I shared with you are things that God uses within our life. And we need to be aware of those and use those, but ultimately we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in our hearts and in our lives. So I think questions we need to constantly be asking ourselves is, number one, what area or areas of my life do I need more self-control in? We all have areas that we can grow in. There's not a single person out there, I don't think, who cannot grow in self-control in some way or another. I had a college professor in college say, you know, well, I have the Holy Spirit in my life, and says the Holy Spirit in my life, I can't sin. And he said it almost in a prideful way, and I'm going, I think you just did. Now, I believe we can live a life above sin, but we have to constantly submit. Mm-hmm. And so we have to submit to the control of the Holy Spirit. We run into problems when we don't. But what areas do I recognize? What areas may have other people mentioned to me that bring awareness of what I need to focus on in self-control? A second question that goes along with that is, how am I daily focusing on God so he can reveal what needs to be done in my life? How am I daily focusing on God so he can reveal what needs to be done in my life? And spending time with God is essential to self-control. For me, it's getting up, and people say, well, do you get up and do devotions first thing in the morning? And I say, no, actually, I don't. Because when I get up first thing in the morning, I have to have coffee, and I have to just kind of get my brain awake. And so I have my coffee and take a few minutes to look at Facebook, peruse the paper, and then I'll spend my time with God. Maybe that's not the best way. I will say you this, tell you this, though, but when you look at Facebook and you look about and you peruse a paper, you at least have something to pray about. but that is me. I know what I if I get up first thing in the morning and I begin to read the Bible, I'll probably be snoozing again in about 15 minutes because my mind's not awake yet. And so by looking at Facebook, the paper, I kind of glance at these things, and it allows my mind to wake up. When my mind's awake, then I can concentrate. Other people, they wake up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and that is their time. Whatever works, make sure you are spending time with God on a daily basis, because it's through study and prayer that God directs how to live our lives.
That's right.
Church is great, and you can learn how to some things of how to live your life, and we are called and encouraged to be together because we lift one another up, and then it's from there we go out into the world to share. And if you're only going to church and you're not sharing, you're not doing what God says. Mm-hmm. We are called to come together to church to encourage one another, as I said earlier. Mm-hmm. Then we're called to go share. So be with God in church, but more importantly, spend in time daily with God through study and prayer. And then how will I focus on bringing the area or areas of my life that God's revealing to me into self-control? What steps do I need to take in my life? Because sometimes we have to take steps in life. It's, for the gentleman I was telling you about, it was one step. The guy convicted him. He put that cigarette package up there, and it was done. Other people, it takes a while. God works in different people, different ways. So what steps can I take? Things that God's asking us to do, but, you know, it's a step. And then the second question is, what must I depend upon the Holy Spirit to do in my life? Because taking steps without the Holy Spirit there is not going to generally lead to being able to overcome. So those are questions we need to ask ourselves. You see, self-control is essential for the Christian because it allows us to live the life that God's called us to live. Not only does it allow us to live the life that God has called us to live, but it gives us a sense of worth as a child of God. You want to, if you're wondering why we see all of these things that are going on in the world, with everything that's happening, with the sexual movement and the different equality movements, I understand God created everyone, but it's because people are seeking a sense of worth, and they're looking for it in all the wrong places. You only find your self-worth and your worth in God. And when you find your worth in God, the one who created you for purpose, on purpose, for purpose, then you begin to live the life that he's called you to live. And self-control is essential for that because you realize that God created you to do this. And God will help and guide you in that self-control. Self-control leads to a joyful, fulfilling life as a result of that. We have the joy of the Lord when we live in his righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We live life with purpose and meaning. We understand that we are why we were born. We understand that we are to fulfill why we were born. Our purpose is why we were born. Fulfillment is living out that purpose, why we were born. And God is asking us to do that. And then perhaps, I think all of these are equally important, but I think probably the one where we see the greatest joy in, is that self-control leads others to Jesus, to a right relationship mm-hmm. with God through Jesus. They realize that what you say matches up with what you do. Mm-hmm. And your joy in living becomes something that they want. And if you claim to be a Christian and you're always criticizing, you're always a Debbie Downer. I don't know where we came up with that term. Anybody know? Debbie Downer? but you're always a person who's down. You never show any joy. People look at you and go, not sure I want that life.
Uh-huh.
Not sure that's where I want. But when you have self-control and you're living the life God wants you live life with excitement, that purpose and meaning, and it leads others to Jesus because your joy in living becomes what they want. They go, I want that. I need that in my life. And I leave you with this thought. If you do not conquer self, self will conquer you.
Mm-hmm.
Quote from Napoleon Hill. If you do not conquer self, self will conquer you. And the only way you can conquer self is by doing what we talked about today. Now, I'm sure there are more things that could be added in there. But if you'll take these steps, it will help you to begin to live the life that God's called you to live.
Amen. Will you pray to close us out?
I will. Father, I just thank you for this time. I just pray that what has been shared today will touch the hearts and lives of those who have been listening, and it'll either reinforce what they know or, Lord, it will convince and convict them that, yes, this is what I need to do. And, Lord, we understand that this is a process for all of us, and it's a process even for those who have been Christ followers